second wave, surge, these things, these terms associated with COVID. It's something that Europe is going through. It's something that the United States of America is going through, increasing new infection numbers, but not hospitalizations and deaths to the same degree as earlier in the year, although there are countries and cities where emergency bed capacity is getting close to being saturated. Dr. Zweliem Kiese earlier this week released a statement saying he was very concerned about the increasing number of positive COVID-19 tests in South Africa, and he singled out by name only the Western Cape. He didn't mention any other provinces that were problematic and disturbing by name. He did mention the Western Cape and mentioned it in the context of a supposed 42% rise in COVID-19 cases in the Western Cape. The Western Cape government put out a media release later that day saying that there was a 7-day rolling average of 1,757 new cases recorded in the week to the 19th of October against a figure of 1,546 for the previous week, which being an increase of 13.65% in new cases in the 7-day period, which is a quarter of what national government was saying. Dr. Sadiq Karim is the Chief of Operations for the Western Cape Department of Health. Sadiq, good morning.
Good morning again, John.
Do we have an understanding of how there are such two such different figures on the table?
Yes. If one understands, looks at the basic epidemiology behind the figures, let me start off by saying that there's much variability in the data from day to day. So that actually the variability daily can be quite marked, ups and downs all the time. So because of that, we tend to make week-on-week comparisons, first of all. And because of that week-on-week comparison, it also then depends upon when you pull the data and when you pull the data off various systems, and that really gives you the difference in the figures. But I think what we all do agree is that there has been an increase in cases in the Western Cape, and many of those increases have been linked to super spreader events. You probably know about the increase in the southern suburbs outbreak that we've had at a local bar. You know, for example, in that case, we recorded thus far 109 cases already from that one incident alone, and there have been other incidents like that across the province. So absolutely, there's definitely been an increase in cases in the province, and I mean, we're watching that very carefully. It's also very worrying, of course, that that's linked to behavior.
The number of positive tests, I'm not sure how important a number that is. It's a number on which attention needs to be placed. But surely the more important figures are hospitalizations and severe case hospitalization, ICU needing cases.
Yes.
Deaths is also important. The figures from the Western Cape government yesterday said there have been an extra 7 deaths in the 24-hour cycle. The number of hospitalizations does seem to be creeping up a little. The number of ICU beds occupied by COVID-linked patients is kind of stable at a few, 2 or 3 or 4 below or above 110.
Mm. No, absolutely. And so the other three indicators we watch very carefully, as we've said before, is the test positivity rate, first of all. So that has remained stable at around 10%. It does fluctuate again as with cases on a day-to-day basis, but on average has remained at 10%. Hospitalizations, you're absolutely right, remaining roughly around the 500, between 500 and 530 mark in public and private, and ICUs are roughly around about 110. And the daily death rate has kind of averaged between 5 and 7 per day. So those markers have not increased. But, I mean, we still believe that there's cause for us to take note of this data and to worry a little bit, you know, because obviously we got to watch those cases carefully. Also, remember, we relaxed the testing criteria in this province. We were, again, the first province to do so, and it's been since the 6th of October we've relaxed the testing criteria, so anyone who's symptomatic can now be tested. And obviously we're now picking up those cases in the community.
And, I mean, it fits in with the continuing survey, the latest round from the survey by UJ and the HSRC, which shows that South Africans are feeling less motivated to protect themselves against coronavirus. 46% of respondents felt they were unlikely to contract the disease in coming months. 41% think the threat of coronavirus is exaggerated. So, I mean, that fits in with an environment where super spreader events and increasing numbers, whether it's slowly or precipitously, become an almost inevitable consequence.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's part of the concern, given also that we're heading towards the sort of holiday period, festive period, and particularly in Cape Town. I mean, we've got about, on average, 13,000 international arrivals at Cape Town International Airport this month alone. So there's a combination of relaxed behavior amongst people, and I think it's really a call to action for more socially responsible behavior, by the way. But, I mean, there's relaxed behavior amongst people. People feel perhaps COVID fatigue, if I can call it that. And all of that can contribute to the increase in numbers, and that obviously is cause for concern.
Yeah, the issue of the threat of coronavirus is exaggerated. I can understand how some people can think that. I don't understand the thinking of people who say coronavirus is a myth invented by, the elite paedophile network that controls the world. That is obvious rubbish. But when you have a situation where seven people die in 24 hours because of COVID-related disease linked to comorbidities in their lives, diabetes, obesity, high blood pressure, combination of all those things. And you look at the number of people who are dying from TB, from coronary heart disease, from motor accidents, through violent stabbings and shootings. Then you kind of go, why am I being expected to completely limit my life when so few people are dying and so many more people are dying from other causes?
Absolutely. And, you know, from a health perspective, you know, as we've also said before, when we had the conversation about the impact of trauma, alcohol and violence in our society, we can't make those moral judgments. We have to treat everybody who comes into our services and who potentially falls ill and requires life-saving treatment or medication. But I think the one issue about the coronavirus that is very different is that it is directly linked, as you've said, to behavior. And if we can be more socially responsible, we can in fact have a significant impact on the trajectory of this pandemic in the Western Cape. We looked at some other countries around the world and found that it's the combination of relaxed behavior, large gatherings, and even a return to nightlife in, I think it was Spain. Return to nightlife was recorded as a particularly, particularly difficult issue for Spain to deal with, for the authorities to deal with. And so that deadly combination that actually then is largely often in our control, actually. Whereas your cardiovascular disease, we can talk about that also, but I mean, whether it is or isn't in one control in terms of diet, but this is just a lot more acute. Coronavirus is just a lot more acute, and we can have an impact on the trajectory.
Thank you very much for talking to us this morning, Dr. Sadiq Karim, Chief of Operations for the Western Cape Department of Health.